Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
Are you excited for the reunion?
Terry Bors is going to be in.
I have long been America's friend. It says it on my business card.
I would be excited. You guys, how many years was that show on the air?
A little bit less than nine.
A little bit less than nine.
If you count days at another radio station where he regularly partnered with me but wasn't full-time on the air staff, probably almost 12 years.
See? That's exciting. Get the band back together. A little reunion tour.
Yeah, how about that?
Play the greatest hits.
Yeah.
In the afternoon, Dan McNeil with Brian Hanley and Terry Bors.
And it's Sosa's home run, a towering line drive, and that's the
George,
only run
which
the
was
game.
It? Wait a minute, hold
was
on.
Was it towering or was it a line drive?
Get some coffee and a towering line drive. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, oh, yes, you can. Ooh. Gentlemen, it was a towering line
make
drive.
Me come out there.
Come on out here.
Thank your little hiney.
I didn't deserve that.
Let's enjoy Murph visiting with Nate Oliver.
I can picture you all in the shower, soaping up and singing, and then someone said, hey, we got to get this thing down on vinyl, huh?
I said, young man, there's no need to be down. I said, young man. Did Murph have leather on for this appearance? Was he doing like a leather pants, leather vest thing?
Like you said when I told you we were going to do it, we're going to be great for the back end of the demo that week. Everybody driving a Cadillac's going to have 670 on.
Hey, they got money.
What Terry Bors knows about life and football, and then I want to tell you what I did with it a long time ago. That's something that happened on Rush Street in a bar years ago. That's all he knows about it. Well, nothing.
Yes!
Hi, Edward Dickman here.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Terry.
Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. Danny Parkins is away on holiday. I'm Danny Mac. Terry Bors is with me today and again tomorrow and again Wednesday.
Oh, we're out my welcome fans.
Until 6 o'clock. So good to have you. And when I posted on Facebook, I think it was yesterday, a picture of us from many years ago when I was wearing the Dickie.
Yeah, you had the Dickie on.
And I had my Super Bowl 31 denim on over it. And said it's been more than 30 years since we did our first show. It was February of 88 when you and I did our first show on the old AM loop together. When on a Friday night you came in to work with me, Chet Kopic had a Chicago Sting commitment that night. You might recall.
He's talking about the team, not like somebody waiting for him.
Exactly. When he took the gig, he already had made a commitment to the Sting, which was great for a 27-year-old producer who got to jump in and host the show. And he suggested Sun-Times columnist Terry Bors as company for me, and he was damn right on the money with that. And when the Score was built, we partnered, and you may have heard the reference earlier to Brian Hanley. Actually, I was polygamous those first 7-8 months. I had either Terry or Brian with me.
Yeah,
in the
into
afternoon.
August before I made up my mind. Yeah, it was into August of 92 before I said, okay, we can do this. So it was, and then we lasted 7.5 years here.
Was it seven and a half?
Yeah, 17 and a half with Bernstein, 7.5 with you. That seemed right.
I don't know. 99. You tell me.
They got us in August of 99.
You're the only person who can answer that question.
Well, you know, I kind of felt right. Here's the way to what it does is that we balance each other so well because you're Mr. Football and I clearly am not Mr. Football. So it's sort of a nice balance and I'll cover what's left. And hockey. You're a hockey guy. Did they play hockey here last year at all?
Not much.
Not much, right? So I mean you're the perfect balance because you're enthusiastic about the NFL, you love your NFL. Yeah, I don't know if you really love the Bears, and I think deep down you know it. You know I'm right what I'm saying about them.
I'm not disputing much of it.
Oh, boy. When you talk about it, thank God I don't deal with that anymore. But, I mean, there's not certain guys. I mean, like Juan said, come on. I like Juan. He always did. I mean, there are certain guys that were there over the years that were fine people. I mean, it's not a reflection on people itself. It's just on the game, where the game is at now, why they continue to lie, why a lot of things go on that really, when you have a tenuous grasp on a sport, which I have in football anyway, why bother with them anymore?
You know, I always gave you credit for that. Terry didn't like going to Bears practices in Platteville, Wisconsin with me. And I once asked, why don't you go to practice with me? And Terry was honest. He said, I don't know what the F I'm looking at.
True.
That was very honest.
That's true. That's from beginning then. That goes all the way from wherever they've been since.
That was in an era when we had much more access to the player zone. If I wanted to walk over and watch the offensive linemen work with their positional coach Tony Wise, I didn't have to ask permission to step inside the velvet ropes. If you're credentialed, you go watch them.
You get beaten if you do that now.
This hour of the Score brought to you by Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights, the bright way to buy. So I get a bunch of suggestions on social media for things to do this week. And, of course, we had the conversation, although it was a brief one here last week, about the resurrection, potentially, of a segment called Who You Crappin'? And I'll go with the flow on this. If you want to resurrect it, we can suffer the tortures of the damned again Wednesday for 15 more minutes if you want to.
It could be torturous too.
No, it's kind of funny that years later we're still the guys. You were the who you crapping guys, weren't you? And we wanted to deep six that segment about five years after it opened.
Went on for 17 and a half more years after we left.
Yeah.
After we split, we went and did it for 17 and a half more years.
I'll defer to you, Tanny and Shep. I'll go either way. You know, I'm flexible. You'll find I have to be flexible because I work with Danny Parkins every day between 1 and 6. I've learned to go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
Would it be more fun if we kind of mixed the new worlds and we had Terry do Can't Do It one afternoon?
I think that would be a good idea if Terry wants to do just exclusively Terry Bohr's version.
Well, I mean,
of
it could be all of us, but we know God knows that there's gonna be all 8 phone lines will be to Terry. Terry, crap on this guy.
I'm kind of hot and cold on Can't Do It. Do you know what segment he's talking about? Can't Do It?
No, not exactly.
Can't Do It.
You can ask pretty much.
Yeah, I remember Can't Do It. Yeah, I remember that
big
thing.
Big fan of the Spiegel and Parkins show for 14 months, were you? They did it regularly, and Danny and I have
can't
done it.
Can't Do It.
Yeah, he brought it with him from Kansas City. It's where listeners get an opportunity to call up and challenge us and try to get us to say things that will get us in trouble either with this is where it usually goes. It's, okay, which coworker can I get McNeil or Parkins to slam? So they've got damage control on the back end because their commitment to be forthright.
Can't do it.
Oh, we'll always be honest with you. Danny prides himself on living his life on the radio. And that what winds up happening is relationships that already require more work than they should become fractured again. And see, I'm giving people fodder for can't do it by saying something like that. Or you wind up saying something about your wife who doesn't sign up for that. You know, somebody asked Danny his wife's weight recently and can't do it. You know, she doesn't need that.
God. No, you know what? And I'm a little wary of who you're crapping as well for much the same reasons because of what I think might be the subject of many of them. I don't know that that's particularly comfortable for either one of us. So, and I'd probably not. I mean, generally, we sort of threw it open and then you let them screen and some people tried to sneak something in or do something. But in today's climate, with what I've seen about people, this, that, and the other, having strong thoughts on this radio station for sure, right?
They always have.
Always have.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah, we do. But I don't know if that's a door you want to open.
Okay, you know, it sounds like you're leaning against can't do it then.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think okay. I probably am. And who are you crapping to? I think for the same reason. I'm leaning kind of on the outside.
Who are you crapping?
Okay. Formula One boy on Facebook asked me if we'd resurrect On Frozen Pond. I was shocked somebody remembered On Frozen Pond. I think it lived only once, didn't it?
It was our second attempt
at a radio play. The first was Ditka's Thanksgiving. Ditka's Thanksgiving was about 6 weeks after he said, "Who you crapping to, Terry?" And it was couple of weeks after he had when I was hosting the Ditka show, he had fired on Ed Obradovich, biggest mistake I ever made, when he said he didn't know OB. And
I don't know OB.
So we did Thanksgiving at Ditka's, and it was just absolutely wonderfully terrible, as was on Frozen Pond. But
we filled an awful lot, didn't we? We really swung and he missed.
We weren't bashful about going to the play.
I'm not bashful about failing.
I were was another one of those attempts. Debbie Field Crew segments.
If I were.
Oh, God. Man, this is a stroll down memory lane with like somebody hitting you with a whip. I just think, at least from what I've seen, what I can gather about the feelings about a lot of things, some of those doors I think should remain closed. I mean, we don't have it, – it's not, you know, – look, we invite everybody in you want to talk about, whatever you want to talk about, that's fine. But there are certain things you can control, certain things you can't control. And I think once you get to who you're crapping, I think there's some prime real estate that people will want to trot on. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
There's a, so it just to me is probably counterproductive. Even for me, and I don't work here. I'm just kind of – I'm visiting you.
That's
you know,
true.
I mean, I'm visiting you.
Yeah, you can swing from the heels if you so desire.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you're 401k safe.
Yeah, I'm okay. I mean, I'm fine. I just think there's you just sort of open things up that don't need to be opened up. As much as I you know, there were probably more days than not with who you're crapping where you wanted to kill yourself. You just got done with it at 5:25 or whatever, and you just go, what did I just do? Another one of those, and it was so bad. And then some of them were so good, though. I don't know.
Yeah, there's not much middle ground.
No, there isn't.
It's kind of like White Castle. It either goes down really good or comes back bad.
I look at it and I say, you know, I think there's a there's something here. There's something that's good that's today's topic. And there's always days when there was probably something they touched five or six times during the course of it. You know what I mean? And then other days where they're just all over the map. My feeling about today's climate with this, with what's happened of recent
station changes is what you're referencing.
Yeah. I just think it invites a whole lot of vitriol that you probably don't need. I mean, if you just said, we never set any parameters. I mean, the parameters you set were just actually decency more than they were. Go for it. Whatever it is.
Right.
You know, go for it. But I mean, I think that this would be the first time that you would have to set some kind of parameters. Then I don't think it's who you're crapping. Does that make sense to you? If you're saying somebody, well, you know, we're not going to take that on that, and then you start something and you end up cutting you off, that's not great radio.
No.
So, I mean, I think there's as much as part of me, and I got a lot of reaction on Twitter as well from people saying, well, what, Wednesday, who you crapping? And I didn't answer. And I said, well, first of all, it's not up to me. It's Danny's show. I'm just sitting here being stupid. And I wasn't really sure.
Which isn't the right response either. It was our show.
Well, not really.
Is your phone ringing? Is that your phone? That's your phone, Terry.
It might be. Yeah. Could be.
$20.
Yeah, it's mine. Yeah.
$20 kangaroo court.
You know what it is? I forgot I had it. Let's see. This is a scam. I have this thing set up, baby. Nobody messes with this. I have this thing set up.
Okay.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
No. I'm not answering that damn phone. It's a scam.
Because
you're scamming me. But you know what I'm saying about if there's something, if there's another bit that we did that fits in some different category that we could do, I'd be happy to do it. But I think that with some of that stuff, you know, I always thought that one of the things that whether it was with you or Dan Bernstein, is that had fun with it. Have fun with it at some point. Whether if it's just a Friday, whatever it is, because it was Friday Funk thanks to Ozzy. So, you know, we lighten it up a little bit and just have fun with it. This doesn't, at this present climate, doesn't sound to me like fun. It sounds to me like torture. It sounds to me like people getting hit in the seat repeatedly.
Well, people have always been angry. I mean, no one writes a business usually unless they're unhappy.
Right.
You don't, you know, nobody calls customer service,
great service
to say,
thank
hey,
you.
You guys
yeah,
did a
you
wonderful
guys are great.
Job. You yeah. know, your serviceman was on time and boy, everything went.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because those people, you know, and every once in a while I'll write a letter, good old fashioned snail mail to a manager of a store when I think somebody deserves praise. Yeah. For a job well done, because they probably never hear it about those employees.
Kudos. To you,
yeah, kudos. Yeah. So, but I think one of the things technology has changed, and not for the better in our business, is, and it's, I'll just forget the business, let's just keep it here to the score, is to a very, very large degree, we have lost the company and programming of the star caller. People text and email and tweet and Facebook and Instagram.
That's true. Yeah.
It's not where, you know, there was an era when you could look up at that computer screen and you find a half a dozen names up there and you know you had programming right around the corner because there were at least a dozen, 20 callers who made this radio. They were part of the programming. Your Oak Park Vandies and Patio Steves.
No doubt about it.
Pluto from Evanston.
No doubt about it.
I'm going to skip a bunch of guys, and then I'll get a bunch of nasty messages.
No, you forgot about me.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know who you are.
Golf boy.
Kind of. But yeah, there are a lot of different platforms. You're right. There's a lot of different places. If you want to really vent, if even something you don't want to say, you know you got a place now to say it. Do whatever you want to do. Say whatever you want to say. Use whatever language you want to use. Do whatever you want to do. Why bother with us? I mean, we're not going to allow you, you know, say what you're really thinking of us. That's okay.
The texters are really pushing back against the no, you crapping. I had a feeling they might, to a degree. One guy wants to, who can it be now? Get Icky Woods back. Is Icky Woods still with us? Is Icky Woods still alive?
We'll do the Google machine. We'll see if he's still alive.
Who can it be now would be fun.
Who can it be now would be good.
We can do a little who can it be now. Sure. Stuff the suggestion box. Keep the text coming. It's 670.
Keep Shep busy. Who can it be now?
Icky Woods is with us.
Icky Woods.
52 years old.
52.
God, you thought he was dead at 52.
I don't. Did he once?
Too much shuffling? What?
He was a large man.
He was.
Maybe I confused him with former Bengal running back Booby Clark, who is in fact.
Yeah, he is in fact
gone.
Dead. Yes.
Yeah.
Booby would be gone. He would not be a good guest.
although we've had some who were dead on the air.
I think there's a. Now, that's a world of possibility that would be fun. Just something to get it away from what we don't want to something that would be fun. Yeah, we could find somebody. I mean, look, my first tendency with anybody's name is to say, oh, he's probably dead. Been looking for Mike Bowser Bauman.
Formerly of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and then he worked for MLB.com for a number of years.
Now, to my knowledge, the Google machine does not have him listed as dead. Which means we can find him.
I'm surprised you lost contact with him over the years.
We were good buddies, yeah. I mean, I had a lot of Dan Barrero and a lot of guys that you know, but they're all stars. They're all big in the business. And Mike was, you know, but crazy. One of our early what we were trying to do was put together through your memory more than mine some of the early people we had on. Some of the guys that were our staples when we in 1992, 93, 94 in those years in there. We found several of them.
Yeah, we got some of them coming on.
We got some of them come up.
Some of them we can't get. Some of them UA. I was
someone we just can't reach.
I was really low over the passing of Todd Christensen, the former Los Angeles Raider. He was was he only 53? I thought he might have been a couple years older than
that. He was a terrific guest.
Yeah, I was already low in my ways because I was in treatment at the time and I was subject to estrogen bursts as it was. And then I get news Todd Christensen has died. He was a character. What a great contributor he was.
Yeah, he really was. He really was. I mean, we could not get enough of him. And he was waiting. Was it a heart or a liver transplant or something?
It was a transplant of some type, and there were complications during the surgery. That happened in the fall of 13. Yeah.
Yeah.
53
years. I want to say, I think that's all he was. And I remember saying at the time, I probably said it on the air that, you know, of all the guys, we had a lot of guys on in those early years, and some of them never want to hear from us again. And I mean, some of them, I'd like to be able to reach Jimmy Pearsall. You remember those golden days with Jimmy Pearsall, don't you?
I do remember those days with our former baseball expert he was a dinosaur's dinosaur, wasn't he?
Oh, my God. What would he think of today with all that's going on today? What would he think of this? All the numbers got. What would he think of it? I mean, I see guys like
Bruce Gossage. He'd probably take the Harrelson approach. He'd want to talk about the will to win.
Yeah, he probably would. Although
Bad.
Yeah. And you talk about, you wanted honest when we were starting out? Because I think that was both of our goals, to be honest about who we were and what we were talking about. And it's, to me, was the most important thing to be honest about it. That guy was honest to a fault.
Yes,
oh, my God.
And he gave us "We're happy for you." Even though he said, "I'm happy for you." We turned it into "We're happy for you."
Yes, he did.
Button 48, if you will. This segment on The Score is brought to you by Walgreens. Walgreens is here for all of your diabetes needs. Stop by today to consult with your pharmacist and get trusted advice and tips about your diabetes medications and testing supplies. Len Casper, veteran voice of the Cubs, joins us at 3 o'clock today. Matt Fishman, our former executive producer, will join us at around 3:40. And Dan Plesak from MLB Network is scheduled
your old buddy.
For 4 o'clock. Yes.
Still employed, still doing a great job.
He's kicking ass, doing
he
wonderful
kicks ass,
work.
Yeah, he kicks ass. So, I mean, we'll ask him about the metric approach.
He's not as on board with it as I thought he might have been. Yeah, not
well,
crazy
you know, there's a lot
it.
Of guys I'm reading now that are really taking a kind of look at it and saying, huh, yeah, that's odd. And according to this, that wouldn't be that good, but it is that good. I mean, I still think there's some gut feeling rather than just reading numbers about a person.
Right,
I mean,
right.
That's still, it can't be out of play totally when you look at a play. It can't be out of play totally.
I want to ask you about the numbers that you believe to be the most important when we come back. We'll talk some baseball, Cubs weekend over the Pirates. We'll do a little bit more on the White Sox. And yes, an unfortunate piece of news regarding the 2013 Stanley Cup champion Blackhawks hit us today,
yeah.
Kind of out of nowhere. It's McNeil and Boers. Parkins is back sometime next week, maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday. Who knows?
Oh,
it's the
know.
Score. Sports Radio 670.
Sabermetrics, there's a place for it in baseball, but not to the position it's been elevated this quickly because of what you just mentioned. They're the intangibles that can't be equated, so right. To speak.
It's your buddy Hawk Harrelson.
So to speak. So to speak, yeah. I you know what? On that we agree. Do I think there's absolutely a place for them? They've absolutely proved invaluable, and people have gotten huge sums of money because they're really good at it. I mean, really, really good at it. And I still think there's something when you read between the lines on a lot of this stuff that baseball still has to consider about a lot of things: how the game is played, the speed of the game, pace of the game. Do you want to do this or do you want not to do this? Should we ban this? I mean, it's created a lot of things that, you know, because they want to speed up the game. The whole thing in their world is speed up the game, make it faster.
They're trying to get more millennials involved. The thought being that the younger generation doesn't have time to sit through mound visits.
Correct. I mean, and I...
Yet the younger generation wraps its arms around the NBA in bigger numbers than ever before, and nothing is more frustrating than watching the last 2 minutes of an NBA game for all of the stoppages.
It's funny because I have two millennials, and I look at it, and they do... They do love baseball. I mean, it's not like all of them, but there's other things that they will do a little bit, but they don't embrace. I mean, there's a lot of sports that are in trouble because the millennials aren't embracing it in any way, shape, or form. There's nothing. Horse racing, for one, nobody embraces it. None of the young people really are interested in it in the least.
You know, I've never thought about that until you just mentioned, but has that always been the case? Isn't that something you sort of... I guess unless you're born into it in a family that loves it or has, or I don't know.
Well, betting. I mean, there's so many different ways to bet that you can see right away how you did. You don't have to. You don't have to go to the track. You don't have to wait 25 minutes between bet. You know what I mean? There's a lot of different ways, and one of the things seems to be the impatience with it, and that's what baseball thinks, that too long. They're impatient. They don't want to stick around that long. They don't want to watch this. They're not interested in it. And there's a lot of research that shows that's correct.
Yeah.
They don't want to wait. They're not interested.
The numbers, and I don't love baseball math. I just,
no.
You know, there's numbers I pay attention to that I didn't know, you know, I would years ago, and why it took forever for the people who work graphics or for broadcasters to say to the producers, on-base percentage is more important than batting average. It took forever for guys to, and it was what, 3 or 4 years ago? It was that recent when they start flashing them on the graphics when a guy's at the plate, where you get his on-base percentage as well as his batting average, his home runs, and his runs batted in.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been there a long time ago.
I agree.
When a pitcher enters the game, you get his whip. That's important. I love.
Yeah,
whip.
You get. Well, yeah. Now you do.
It's the second thing I look at when I'm looking at a pitcher. How's he doing? Earned run average, and then I go to whip.
I love the whip.
Whip.
But I think there's a sort of a disconnect with a lot of the young fans, and you see it at the game. You see the very young and the very old at baseball games. You don't see enough of the in between, and that's what bothers baseball. And I don't know. I mean, you can't get more modern in terms of the use of everything, you know, the computer, everything that goes into it. You can't get more modern than what baseball does. How they do their business these days. But yet, they have a hard time getting younger people interested in the game. I mean, everybody's interested in the kid. I mean, one of your first things is always with your first game your dad took you to or whatever.
Sure.
You know, you're always, that's always been
baseball
part of
baseball is about fathers and sons.
Yeah, it really is. But yet, it doesn't last. It doesn't seem to. I mean, baseball has this real problem that they don't think it lasts, that they don't attract the younger audience. So when you start talking about, well, we've got the audience is 55. We got that rep. Well, nobody wants that. No, nobody wants me. I mean, nobody's interested in me. They don't care. No, they don't care. They don't give a rat's ass about you. They don't. Yeah, I'm a big base. Oh, who cares? I mean, that's sort of their attitude.
Yeah, but there's a lot of us, though. I think they still care because there's a reason it was called the baby boom. Those born between 45 and 65. There's a hell of a lot of us still around.
More than ever. I mean, there's been a lot of things you've seen over the years that you haven't seen before. I promise you that. But yeah, I'm not sure.
How could it be more than that? That beats my math mistake from earlier today. That's a good one. There's more of them around than ever.
There are.
They've multiplied.
They have. I mean, by the numbers, they're living longer. They're still around, and they're annoying. I'm annoying. So I look at it.
I heard last year the average life expectancy is down a little bit in America for men. And you know what they're attributing it to? Opioids.
Well, that I believe. Yeah,
I'm not surprised to learn that.
Well, I'd have to look at the numbers again. I'd have to run those numbers. Because when I look at this,
yeah,
I say,
bring them to us because I like where you're going with numbers.
I look at these things and I say, well, you know, for example, you can't, if you have any money, disposable income, as a lot of people have, like 10 years ago, I knew it. I didn't have that kind of money to do it with. You knew that when you saw all these places going up in Florida, the people were going to live long enough to come down there and live and buy them. And now they're still building them like crazy. They're everywhere.
Really?
Yo, my God, everywhere. You can't go down there. There's three or four new ones every time you go down there. There's different...
Didn't learn anything 10 years ago, huh?
No. And they understand that people are going to be around longer. They're you're going to make it to that time of your life. At least they think so. I can't help you. I can't help you with your opioids. I can't do anything about that. But I look at it and I say that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We are a generation of people who are living longer for the most part. We can take better care. They've learned more. All of this stuff adds to it. But you still. They don't care. In terms of some things in life, you can say, oh, yeah, man, if I'm a real estate guy, that is really something I can get next to that. I can sell that thing out in 6 months. I can build a thousand places. I can sell them out. They can, and they've done it.
This segment is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcast host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, jalapenos, and more this fall at Ryan Field.
Put them out of business, too. Put Fitz out of business.
Single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Let's try Joe in St. Charles on the Score Sports Radio 670. Hey, Joe.
Hey, you know what? You guys like made me laugh about something else. It doesn't matter how long you live. Okay, I'm 66, but you know what? It never ends well, and I don't care who you are, okay? But anyway, talking about baseball, and I get it about speeding up the game, but you know what I don't get? Is like, we want to get this right, and we want to have these reviews and all that stuff, and the decision's coming from New York, but in the meantime, they got to get these four overweight guys walk over to the sidelines and put on a show with the freaking earphones and all that stuff. And then it takes them, like, however, to, like, get this. And then it takes them forever to walk back out there. And how's that speeding up the game?
You a Cubs fan, Joe?
Yeah.
How did you like replay when it benefited them last year against the Dodgers? Was it last year or 2 years ago when they had 2 years ago? It was the World Series season when they had several things go their way. And I think Adrian Gonzalez was victimized in back-to-back games in the series on replay.
You know what?
I know what Joe's saying, though. It takes way too long. Why not just look at New York and say, okay, forget the headphone, forget the show, the sideshow, the event, whatever the hell they're doing over there, and just have somebody flash and we save her out.
Absolutely.
It gives them something to do.
Yeah, fair or foul. Well,
I mean, see, what are they going to do? Just stand there and wait for... Thank you. We appreciate the telephone. Put Joe on hold.
You're trying to... You're trying to speed something up, and you're not really speeding it up because every time that I don't get it. I mean, I really have a struggle with it. I look at it and I say, for the love of God, how long? And you go to commercial, and you still come back, and you still don't have a decision. I mean, for look at the how tough is it?
Yeah,
and you don't need them. Just have a relay system and say, look, here's the guy who's going to have it under a safe out, whatever. And the end of it.
I have to make a confession, and I've talked about this a little bit. It's the first you're hearing of it. A new tradition I've started this year to not get so damn pissed off at baseball before football season starts. I've started watching the Cubs the following day, the morning of the show, because old people get up early. I get up at 5:30, I put a pot of coffee on, I go in the garage and sit on the stairs and have a delicious Marlboro Light, come back in, pour myself a coffee, and I watch last night's Cubs game, or yesterday afternoon's Cubs game, and I can skip through all, if I want to, I can skip through all of the conversation regarding a replay. I find it interesting because I'm a rules guy and I like to learn
the rules.
I do. I want to find out how they've adjudicated this and why and see if there's an explanation, because they don't do a very good job explaining why something is the way it is once they have a ruling from the league office. But
well, it's also very hard for you, the viewer. Just to make yourself a viewer for a second. Even when you see it sometimes, you can't tell. They can show you the replay, and it has to be the super millionth stop before you even sometimes see it. And a lot of times, I still haven't seen exactly what they're talking about, and I still can't tell. And to me, it's the easiest thing in the world to just say, we can't tell. I don't need 3 minutes. I don't need 4 minutes. I just can't tell.
Yeah, rule out the field
nothing,
stands.
Yeah, there's nothing decisive here. I can't see it. And then they show it to you, and how they make up their mind on that. I have no idea they made up their mind on that. There's nothing conclusive about anything you've seen. I mean, it's still a difficult thing. And I've heard just as much scream for people saying, just give it back to the umpires. Just give it back to them. You're moaning about, no, you don't. You want to get it right.
Yeah, I'm a get it right guy.
Does the NFL get it right?
Most of the time. Not every time.
Catching the ball.
Well, yes. That's the most difficult thing. The football move. When the ground calls the fumble. The Jesse James of the Steelers play at the goal line. Was he in? Yeah. Was he not in? Did he catch it?
It is annoying as hell. Because
it's
even
the price
guys sitting in the booth don't know the rule.
Technology. I know. There are guys who don't.
Baseball's
still learning it. They're still learning it themselves. Let's try Bruce and Skokie on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Yeah, Bruce.
I'm for doing away with replay. You know, there is no perfection. We don't need to know what kind of underwear a mosquito is wearing. Give it back to the umpires, and then we'll yell at them when they look through the bars, umpire, not through the bars. Look in between them. We used to enjoy yelling at the umpire. Leave it up to them. Talking about speeding up the game? My God. They four guys waiting for New York? Millennials are going to wait for that? Do away with it. Give it back to the umpires. Nothing's perfect.
Thank you, George. Appreciate the phone call. Did you get the first part of that?
No.
Mosquitoes wearing underwear?
Yeah, mosquitoes
something
wearing
about
underwear.
Mosquitoes. I lost everything after that. I was trying to picture mosquitoes the size of underwear you'd have to get for a mosquito.
That's just a big-ass mosquito.
Literally.
Mosquito. It's sort of like I've never been away.
Big underpants.
It's taken me all of like an hour and a half to figure out. I don't know. I still don't know what people are talking about.
Who have texted and asked, yes, Terry Bors is wearing pants today. So he decided to wear pants today. Tomorrow could be pantsless. And we will give away some tickets for a live broadcast we're doing Wednesday, as opposed to a dead one, right down the hall at the WXRT
in the performance stage.
Performance studio. Yeah, we're going to invite about 60 listeners or so on board for that. So be listening for your chance to win tickets. And all of you who have texted saying it's good to hear Terry, you're damn right it's good to hear Terry Bors.
Even if I'm not Mr. Football, because you're Mr. Football. I mean, even that's okay.
It's not football season.
No,
it's baseball season.
It's baseball season.
We'll take a timeout. Come back.
Oh, the do-do-do night.
Some more of your texts and phone calls on The Score. Len Casper from Cubs Television, about 15 minutes away, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, your home for Cubs baseball. Terry Bors is sitting in for Danny Parkins today. I'm Dan McNeil. thought this news today was really, really sad and really out of nowhere. Former Blackhawks goaltender Ray Emery died Sunday. He was 35 years old. The police in Hamilton, Ontario, are saying his drowning does not appear to be suspicious. He jumped off a boat near a nearby boat club to go swimming. Friends called emergency service at 6 a.m. when he didn't resurface. Called it a case of misadventure, the inspector did. His body was found at around 2:50, about 20 yards from where he went swimming. Ray Emery was a huge part of the Hawks' success story of 2012-2013.
Sparkling numbers.
Let me re-rack that. Just 2013, because they didn't start, I don't think, until after the first of the year, right? That was the truncated season because of the lockout. They only played 48 games that year. Ray Emery, I think, lost only one game the entire year. What was he, Shep? Something like 17-1-1 or something?
17-1.
17-1, 35 years old, hanging out with friends, jumps in the lake, gone. 35 years old, very, very sad.
Are you a good swimmer?
I'm not great, but...
If you fell in the water and there was nobody around and you fell in the middle of a big body of water, would you get out of it?
I'm all right. I think I do okay. I don't want to find out.
Bob up like a cork.
The two
down
guys.
Come up here.
He's all blue. He's down there.
I say that because I think about the fact that I haven't been swimming in an awfully long time, and if you drop me out somewhere, I'd probably be gone. I don't think my muscle memory would serve me very well in doing it. I really don't. I mean, I think I'd be done. As much as I like enjoy the water.
Well, stay on the boat then.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay on the boat. The Steve Deer Cup. I'm going to stay on the boat.
Those two guys on the other side, Nick Shepkowski and Chris Tannehill.
Championship swimmers?
No, they're both scared of the water. Neither one of them are buoyant.
You mean like bath water or just water?
I don't know. They always appear to.
Shower water or what?
This might be the best hygiene show ever.
Really?
Yes, this is a good hygiene show. Everybody comes in well scrubbed every day. Those guys usually wear collars.
I don't like collars.
Not definitely afraid of the water, though, to answer your question, Terry. Yes. Hate being underwater. You put me out there in the middle of Lake Michigan and tell me to swim back. Done.
Nobody's over swimming with. In the middle of Lake Michigan.
Well, not the actual middle, but you throw me 200 yards out, I'm screwed.
200, right?
You
the
actually
middle,
stick me in the dead center point of Lake Michigan, yes. Hopefully there's a passerby.
Speaking of water, what's in the water today? Keep my mouth shut on this side.
Terry, shocking since we, the water. Since we, well, now you're speaking his language.
My guy.
Oh, man. I'm with you guys, by the way. I'm completely with you. We're going to come over there. We're going to have our hygiene tested. I'm completely with you on that.
Since we've come back from the commercial, 20 more baby boomers were born, Terry.
Well, all I can say is by the numbers, we're living longer. We are.
Yes.
And there are more of you.
And there are more of us. Well, I mean, there are more. Yes,
forget
more.
Forget
yes.
It. Forget it. You're in broadcast hell on that one.
Yeah. Just well, there are more of this generation than have been any previous generation at this age. Does that make sense?
No. Do you know?
What you're trying to say, but it doesn't mean there are more baby boomers.
One more round, pal. It's all pops and buzzes for there.
All right, you got me forever on that one. All right, I don't care.
Let's try George in River
Just
Grove.
Don't throw
next.
Me in the lake.
Hello, George. You're on the score. Welcome to it.
How are you tonight?
I'm okay, today. George. How are you?
I wish I knew.
Okay.
Actually,
I won't ask any more tough questions.
I just had a hip replacement operation.
Ah, we're the perfect show for you.
Great. This is great fun, I'll tell you. The rehab, oh, my God. Shoot me.
Is it bad?
Well,
yeah.
Never
pretty
mind
bad.
That.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Here's how you fix these sleeper games.
Yeah.
Number one. Here's the rule. You can't step out of the box. I was a umpire in a semi-pro game. I said, get back in the box. The guy says, oh, I have to get the sign. I said, you can get the sign while you're standing in the box. Get back in the box. There's no TV cameras here.
Man caught smoking in bed spends a night in the box. Any man loud talking spends a night in the box.
So now, here's another thing. The pitchers... whoever the coaching and the management of all the teams do this. The pitcher throws the ball, the catcher catches the ball, right? So now what? They wait until the batter gets set in the box before they give the sign. when I was pitching, I would get the ball, and I knew what I was going to do. I'd get the sign, and if the batter stepped out of the box, which he rarely did, I would fast pitch him. So if the guy steps out of the box, the catcher gives the sign to the pitcher, okay? Now, as soon as he steps back in the box, as soon as he gets both feet in the box, you go into your windup and throw him the ball.
But when he's out of the box, he gets time, George. So even if you go to the plate, you're not going to get credit for it, right?
He's out. You start your windup once both feet are in the box because he's got to dance around and shift around.
I see. I see what you're saying. Okay, and that was effective for you?
It was. When you fast pitch, the faster you pitch, a lot of pitchers realize it, but a lot of idiots don't. The faster you go.
Because I fall in that category.
Yeah.
The faster you go, the less time you get the hitter. You give the hitter to think about what it is you're trying to do to him.
Okay.
I agree with that.
All right.
He's got
a plan for guys who want to step out of the box.
I agree with that.
Thank you, George, for checking in. Appreciate the telephone call.
Work fast. I agree, George, and good luck with that hip.
Yes. It's the first surgical procedure. First orthopedic story we've had. It didn't even get to 3 o'clock. We haven't punched in our first guest yet, but we have orthopedic issues.
Got a hip?
You got a hip. Did you have a hip done, too?
No. No, but I know all that crap hurts.
All that crap
hurts? That shoulder, yeah, all of it hurts.
I got my knee replaced 18 months ago, a little less than 18 months ago. It's never felt better. Arthritis, gone. The rehab was tough. 2.5 months of it where it didn't bend very well, but you work. The right knee as a result of it, which also has been reconstructed, is stronger as a result. Feel 10 years, 20 years younger.
You don't look it. I would say that.
Thank you.
I would say that, you know, I've
been. What do you
mean?
Look at that big blonde coif I got going here.
Yeah, you do.
I haven't lost a hair, man, and it's not great either.
Knee replacement, I think it's 3 years now I got the word I needed one, and I haven't done it yet. And I managed to hang in there without it because I know how it is a living hell compared to all the others. I mean, it is tough as it gets.
It's what you do when what you do is A, what they tell you to do. Do what
Yes, that's what I've always done. I do what I'm told.
Yeah, there's a reason they have those jobs. They're trained for them, and they're good at it. Bill is in Hinsdale on the score. Hey, Bill.
He is.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Terry, love to hear your voice, but you still annoy me.
Well, thank you.
Hello?
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill. Yeah.
What brings you in today? You just want to be annoyed?
No, I want to talk about the challenges that baseball faces. It's not really new. Baseball is so much more of a provincial game where if you're a fan of a certain team that's tanking, you don't give a crap about your team and you don't give a crap about the rest of the league either.
You're right. There's certainly a lot of teams that have no remaining 69 games to look forward to. There are a lot of things that are already decided in baseball. I mean, not every playoff team, but there are some teams that are just so far and away, don't have any reason to watch. And one of them is about 7 miles south of us.
Well, the NBA is the same way, though, and yet the NBA is thriving for the most part. I mean, it's a 365 business now. It's a year-round that the conversations and so forth that it generates. And how many teams are tanking in the NBA? All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And then you're really bad. Then you're really just suffering and getting a crap beaten out of you. But, I mean, look, because of the map that's been set out, it's right in front of you now. You see how teams have done this. You see how Houston did it. You see how the Cubs did it. It's hard to argue with somebody like the White Sox are saying, "Well, yeah, I see that. I'm gonna stockpile as many good players, young players as I can, and then we'll see. We'll take our beating for a while. We won't say we're tanking. We'll take our beatings, and then we'll move on from there." And I mean, if it didn't work, people wouldn't still be doing it, would they?
That's correct.
And it works.
Well, you look at the Cubs and Astros just 6 years ago, they played each other in late September, early October, and they both had more than 100 losses on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the last two World Series winners. So it does work.
Yeah, and baseball.
That doesn't mean it's going to work for the White Sox. I've had so many Cubs fans tell me this year, just take your lumps. I mean, you have one of the best executives in sports history who put that thing together. I don't know if Rick Hahn is going to be on the same par ever as Theo Epstein is. I don't suspect he will. So it's
hard to do.
And at least
it's hard to
do. Yes, at least half of those prospects have to show up and be good, not good players. Some of them got to be great players.
Great players, yeah.
And I don't see that in some of these White Sox. It's only, you know, the full first year for Yoan Moncada, but I'm not seeing star scream out of his performance this season. Are you?
No. No, too damn many errors on players that you just shouldn't miss. I mean, I understand that you're going to wander, you're going to drift a little bit when you're that bad, but you can't do that. You can't. I mean, don't even let people think that you're not thinking about what you're doing, because that's the only way you miss those balls. Some of them he's missed.
Right.
What, 15 or 16 errors? I mean, come on. I mean, look, there's no – and that again, it goes back to the science of, well, you know what? If you've noticed, in a lot of cases, the draft picks have been smarter. You see a lot of teams, if you watch a lot of baseball, you see a lot of teams with good young players.
Yep.
Are they going to be great young players? Are they going to put where the Cubs are or where the Yankees are? I don't know that. Or where the Astros are? I don't know. The Dodgers are loaded with young players, too. Are they all going to get to – I don't know. Every team's going to have failures, and the White Sox are going to have them, too. Some of those guys that you're reading about every day, where they're getting the update –
yeah,
they're always going to suck. I mean, that's just part of it. If all of them are good, that's an enormous upset. If all of them are great players, are going to be really, really good players, but you need at least two great players.
At least. Yes.
At least. And the Astros, by the way, dotted it with Verlander.
Yeah.
That's where that comes in. That's where, okay, all right, now I got you.
Yep.
Now I got you. Because, I mean, what he did was what they couldn't raise. They didn't have that. They didn't have that guy in the minor league. I don't know the Cubs do either. Sox think they do. I see my inherent distrust of young pitching lives on to this very moment.
As it should. Because more often than not, those who project greatness are wrong. We'll talk with Len Casper about the Cubs' wonderful weekend in San Diego in a few minutes on Sports Radio 670 The Score.